At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
This is the Adam Carriker Show.
Position right of the quarterback, out of the shotgun, first and 20. Jailbreak screen in the air. It is tipped. It is intercepted by Carriker at the Missouri 21-yard line.
Live from the heart of Lincoln, America, eight-year NFL vet and All-American defensive lineman Adam Carriker.
Shotgun snap to Everett. He's got the left arm going, and now he's got a whole lot of Adam Carriker who rips him down inside the 25-yard line.
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Here is your host, Adam Carriker.
Welcome, everybody, in to the Adam Carriker Show. Here on 93.7 The Ticket. Check out all things The Ticket at theticketfm.com. The social medias, obviously radio, TV, podcast platforms. Every freaking where. Also, the Carriker Chronicles. Check it out on YouTube at Carriker Chronicles. Also, the website for all your Husker sports hopes and dreams will come true. It's just science, ladies and gentlemen. CarrickerChronicles.com. All right. If you didn't know, now you're going to know. Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday noon to 1 p.m. Central Time. Grab your lunch. Come join me. All right. It's a show that's going to give you unique insights, unbridled honesty, and producer Jake and I are going to have a whole lot of fun. Jake, you're on your toes today with 99 divided by 3.
33.
Hey, you actually got it right. I had to think about it for a second. Attaboy. He's on his toes. He's ready to go, ladies and gentlemen. All right, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, noon to 1 p.m. Central Time on Wednesday. Join former All-American Nebraska quarterback Steve Taylor. Basically, it's one of the most loaded hours in radio. A lot of great content here on The Ticket and noon to 1 p.m. Central Time. I hope you join us and have a whole lot of fun, just as producer Jake and I do each and every day. So we got a lot of stuff to talk about today. I want to give final bye week thoughts on the Huskers. It is a loaded weekend of college football. I gave a smidge of a hint yesterday as to who I'm going to take in the game of the week, which is Ohio State, Oregon. But there's a lot of other games to talk about. USC, Penn State. You got Texas, Oklahoma. We're going to talk about Kansas State, Colorado, which is actually one of the most intriguing games of the week. And if you're one of those people that, oh, I don't want to hear Colorado anymore, I'm going to shock you with this. If they beat, so right now, Kansas State has the third best odds to win the Big 12. Kansas State has the third best odds. Colorado is the seventh best. If Colorado wins this game, that means they're going to vault to the top right up there with BYU, who's undefeated, Iowa State, who's undefeated, and they have a chance to beat any of those teams because Kansas State is as good as anybody in the Big 12 conference. And yes, I know they got drugged by BYU. But my point, anybody can beat anybody on any given day. But I've been saying it since we played them. Colorado is much better than they were last year. If they have a chance to win the Big 12, that means they have a chance to be in the college football playoff. This game versus Kansas State is almost as intriguing as Ohio State, Oregon is to me. It's probably more intriguing than Texas, Oklahoma, just because I have a feeling I know how that game is going to go. But we'll talk about that here in a minute. Oh, I feel like I'm missing a game in there. There's another big game. What am I missing, Jake?
There's Ole Miss LSU.
There it is. Yeah. Ole Miss LSU. I'm more intrigued by Colorado Kansas State than I am Ole Miss LSU because neither one of those teams is going to make the SEC championship game at this point, and I don't really care about the SEC beyond who's going to make the title game. They might sneak into the back door of the college football playoff as an 11 seed right ahead of the group of five team at the 12th seed, but that's really about it. It's probably the second most intriguing game of the weekend. So I've said I will talk about Colorado Dion because they're interesting, especially when they're appropriately interesting. And if they beat Kansas State, they're all of a sudden 5-1, and they got to be one of the favorites in the Big 12, which makes them a college football playoff contender. And also, I'm going to offer some shocking thoughts. I said earlier this year that Shedeur Sanders was not a top quarterback. When I said that, I meant it. I'm still staying with that. But if you noticed, every time I said that, I projected to the NFL. Did I refer to what he did in college at all, other than how he conducts himself? I projected everything to the NFL. When you look at his college stats and what he has to deal with, He might actually be underrated as a college quarterback because he's being overshadowed by his dad and people are just sick of Colorado right now. But we're going to save that for the second segment. All right, I want to start off, final thoughts. Nebraska, actually, I want to start off with something completely different. Des Moines Adams, all right, a guy that was a senior when I was a freshman, a guy that I look up to, still to this day. All right, check out his show here on The Ticket, 5 to 6 p.m. every Tuesday evening. Teammates sat right there and accused me of wearing medium shirts. And I didn't see my wife's text. She listens to the show every day. She's highly intelligent, but she texted me, and I didn't see it till after the show. She said, Adam, you need to point out that you wear all 2XL shirts. And I wish I'd have seen that while the show was going on. Because I'm like, holy crap, she's right. Every shirt I wear is 2XL. All right? Everything below the waist is extra, extra, extra large, if you know what I mean. Keep it clean. It's family show, Jake. Mm-hmm. I wear 2XLs. So here's what I'm going to say to Demo. Demo, if you're listening, you're my guy. Much love. And I would have said this to you yesterday, except I didn't see the text. And frankly, you kind of caught me off guard. I didn't expect you to come into my show and talk about some medium shirts, but it's all good. That's the unpredictability. You never know what's going to happen on this show. But if I make 2XL shirts look like mediums, and I say this with all the love in the world, and you started this, if you make mediums look like 2XLs, that's not my fault, my brother. And you got my number. If you're listening, you can call in. We'll put you right on the radio. But I had to point that out. And again, I wish I'd have seen that text while the show was going on. All right. The Locker Room. That's a phenomenal show right after here, 1 to 2 p.m. every day. I saw a clip. I believe it was Wednesday's show, maybe Tuesday. And they shared a story about Scott Frost in Oregon and Christian McCaffrey. You were here for this, Jake.
Yeah.
You probably are the one who clipped it and put it out, and that's how I saw it.
That's right.
Basically, Christian McCaffrey, if you didn't see it, was being recruited by everybody as a wide receiver. Scott Frost, at this point, is the offensive coordinator at Oregon in Eugene. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because as soon as I heard this story, I was 0% surprised. Christian McCaffrey was leaning towards going to Oregon. And they were going to be the only school that's going to play him at running back. Well, ultimately, Stanford ends up playing him there. But at this point in time in his recruiting process, he was probably going to go to Oregon, leaning that way, because they were going to play him at running back. And he wanted to be a running back. Turns out he's a pretty good running back. He's walking by. They're having an offensive staff meeting. Frost stands up, talks about, hey, Christian believes he's going to come here and play running back. We're going to move him to wide receiver. Okay, not being up front with everything. Christian walks in the room, said, don't worry about it. I'm not coming here. Obviously, he went to Stanford and the rest is history. But they pointed out on the Locker Room, again, check out that show, 1 to 2 p.m. every day. They do a great job. They pointed out that that's why Christian kind of always had an issue with Frost, and that's why he didn't want Luke, his younger brother, to come here. I bring this up because I was not surprised. People ask me, not so much anymore, but a couple of years ago, they would ask me all the time, why didn't Frost work out? Why didn't he work out? Why didn't he work out? I couldn't have painted a better example of why he didn't work out. His X's and O's were great. He actually recruited at a top 20 level, which is about adjacent to what Matt Rhule's doing right now. Nebraska's always had top 20 talent, just not top 20 results. But when you're not upfront and honest, those are the things that people hear about. Those are the things that get around and players don't buy into what you're doing. Not going to spend a lot of time on this, but when I heard that story, I was like, yep, that makes sense. My first conversation with Frost after he was hired, I got a call from an Oregon number and I didn't connect the dots. I answer and the guy goes, it's Scott. I'm still not connecting the dots. I'm like, this is like out of the blue, by the way, early in the morning. I put together, it's Scott. Within 5 minutes, he had a lot to say about certain folks. It wasn't really, hi, hello, how you doing, Adam? Good to meet you. Good to chat with you. We'd actually met 20 years ago, but there's no way he remembers that. It was immediate, his frustrations with a particular individual who happened to be one of his former teammates, I might add. And that really caught me off guard. My point is, it doesn't matter how well you can recruit and how good you are at X's and O's. If you are not upfront with things and you do not talk to people to their face, they're not going to buy in, and other people are going to find out, and then they're not going to buy in. Again, not going to spend a ton of time on this, but I couldn't give you a more perfect example as to why Scott Frost, who should have worked out here, didn't. Does that make sense, Jake?
Yeah.
Any other thoughts?
Well, you know, it's, I don't know. I mean, because you hear about, like, Christian McCaffrey was such a top recruit at the time. So, like, I understand that there's probably multiple teams. You could see why he would be in, people would be interested in him as a wide receiver as well. And you go back to, you know, recruiting stories of like Amir Abdullah, who was told he was going to play defensive back all these other places. I can't remember what it was. I think I'd have to think about it. Like Husker coaches telling, you know, even have made their own mistakes in the recruiting. So it's a lot easier to go back now and say, hey, that great guy should have never, you know, heard any story about him playing a different position. But, you know, it's a high school kid. You know, it's a little bit of a different story. So, it's one of those things that doesn't look good as the years pass.
It's the upfront and honesty and or lack thereof. Like, and I'm not going to say it was just Scott Frost. I took a recruiting visit to Oregon. Okay. And you got to keep in mind, I was way before Chip Kelly or Scott was there. It was Mike Bellotti was there, who was there for like 20 plus years. And I knew he wanted me to play defensive end. If you remember, I was a high school quarterback. I was much higher recruited as a high school quarterback. And I sat in his office with my dad. He looked me in the eye. And I have no idea if he was lying or not. But I'll tell you what my dad and I both thought as we walked out of his office. He looked me in the eye and said, we're going to bring you in as a quarterback because he knew that's what I wanted. He said, if it doesn't work out, we'll switch you over to D end. Offered me a scholarship. Walked out of that office, looked at my dad. And I don't know Mike Bellotti beyond the few interactions we had. He could have been telling me the 100% truth. But I looked at my dad and I said, I don't believe him. My dad said, I don't either. We're not interested. Now, he could have been telling me the truth, but neither one of us believed him. Neither one of us hesitated to say it to each other. So I'm not saying it's just Scott Frost. What I am saying is when I heard that story, I was 0% surprised because it's consistent with things I've experienced and things other people have experienced and they've relayed to me. So if you've ever wondered why Scott Frost didn't work out, it's an example. All right. Again, this is bi-week topic conversation. Also, that story, when I heard it the other day, I was like, dang, I couldn't give you a better example. Not going to spend any more time on it unless you got any other thoughts, Jake.
I don't know. That's all I got.
All right. Final bye week thoughts when it comes to the Huskers. And before the first break, I want to give my breakdown and prediction of Ohio State, Oregon. When we come back, all the other major games from this weekend. And somehow, is Shedeur Sanders actually underrated as a college quarterback? All right. We'll talk about that after the break. But before then, my final bye week thoughts are this. Nebraska has improved in the two most important areas they had to improve in. Talked about this before, so I'll keep it brief. The quarterback play and the turnover margin. +6 in the turnover margin, which is top 15 in the country. Huge. The quarterback play, much improved. The ability to pass the ball, much improved. A guy like Malachi Coleman, who is insanely talented, and I can't wait to see what he does starting next year when he comes back off this red shirt. But think about this. He was starting last year as a true freshman. A year later, he's redshirting. What's that tell you about where the wide receiver room was a year ago, with all due respect? They had to start a guy who clearly wasn't ready. A guy who now, a year later, still needed to redshirt. And to be clear, he's tall, fast, athletic. He was the number one recruit in the state of Nebraska for a freaking reason. When Isaiah and Jamal graduate and they're done and he gets an opportunity to get into this wide receiver mix, he's going to be fun to watch. So to be clear, it's nothing but excitement to see what he can do, but he needed this year to develop. The pass game, taking care of the ball, much improved. The defense is intriguing because two rough quarters versus Illinois kind of jades how people look at it a little bit. Obviously, a big two quarters plus the overtime, but the other 22 quarters, they played well. One of the best run defenses in the entire country. They're much improved this year when it comes to forcing turnovers. I do think the tackling has faltered a little bit because it's that fine line. It's that catch 22. It's the, I'm trying to get the ball out. You might miss a few more tackles. We're going to secure every freaking tackle. You might not get the ball out as much. Again, I've talked about this in the past. The best way to do it, first guy in, secure the tackle. And the next guy in, you're stripping for the ball. Trying to get that ball out. That's the best way to do it safely. They're much improved when it comes to forcing turnovers. They lead the Big Ten in sacks, 20 sacks on the season. You look at a guy like James Williams, the top five Big Ten defensive linemen when it comes to pressure rates. Number two, Derek Harmon, 13.6% of the time. Number three, Anto Saka, 12.7% of the time. Oregon and Northwestern are their schools respectively. Jack Sawyer, 11.8% of the time at Ohio State. All right. Dennis Sutton, 11.2% of the time. Five-star recruit out of high school. Plays at Penn State. Abdul Carter isn't even in the top five, and that guy's a top 10 pick. The other defensive end, edge rusher from Penn State. Number one, James Williams, Nebraska. 16.7% of the time he's on the field. He's getting pressure on the quarterback. In fairness, a lot of the other guys are out there for all three downs, but that's still number one in the Big Ten is the guy in our defensive room. We're getting after the quarterback better. We're forcing turnovers better. The biggest thing is getting off the field more consistently, more effectively, no matter who we're playing, whether it's Purdue, whether it's Rutgers, whether it's Illinois, Northern Iowa, it doesn't matter. That's really the only thing they're missing in my eyes is the ability to get off the field consistently on third downs, regardless of who the opponent is, at a much higher rate. Obviously, it gets more difficult the more difficult the opponent is. Blackshirts playing well. I don't want to say they single-handedly won the Rutgers game because Brian Bursini had a hand in there. Obviously, it's a team effort. But when the opponent starts with the ball at your two, they don't score. Wow. They start year 28. They don't score. Wow. They don't score until late in the fourth quarter after your offense has struggled the entire second half and your special teams has not been very good, to put it kindly. The defense was the difference in that game. All right. Special teams. As we know, and I actually just interviewed Drew Brown this morning. I released that interview next week. Number two all-time in Nebraska football history as far as field goals made. All right, top four in points scored. Has several school records. But he talked about, it was funny, the order of operations. Please excuse my dear Aunt Sally without me ever bringing it up. He said, if you're a kicker and you're not sure about the snap and you're not sure about the hole and you're not sure about the protection, I said, can't you just block all that out and do your best? He's like, yeah, you can, but it's still in the back of your mind. So it all goes together, and obviously the kicker's got to kick better. John Hole's got all the talent in the world. All right, 1 of 5 on the year so far, field goals made. Got to improve on that. Hopefully Tristan Alvano can come back sooner rather than later. This is a guy who owns several Class A school records throughout the state of Nebraska. Made a 50-yarder, made a 45-yard game-winning field goal of the state championship on the line. Not only does he have rare skill, talent, and a big leg and accuracy, he's got the clutch gene because he's shown it. You just got to do it on Saturdays. I think if he could just make like his next 2 or 3 field goals in a row, whenever he comes back, all he needs is that confidence boost and he's going to take off. My final thoughts on the bye week is I would like to maintain passing the ball well, taking care of the ball, but I'd like to get back to averaging about 4.5 yards per carry instead of 3.9 when we're running the ball. Let's improve the running game. Let's get back to just close to what we were last year. Defensively, tackle more efficiently, get off the field on third downs. But basically, don't have any letdown quarters, and you're easily one of the top 10 to top 5 defenses in the country. That's all they're really missing. Special teams, I said it before. I'd love for us to be average to above average. Let's start with just slightly below average to where you're not a liability on the field. Let's get there, and then let's get to average by the end of the season. We don't have to make gigantic improvements in any area, well, except for special teams. A gigantic improvement, we're beginning to average. I'm not trying to take jabs. It just is what it is. 2 + 2 = 4, no matter how badly you want it to equal 5. Facts don't care about feelings, okay? It is what it is. That's why when people send in texts and they correct something I say wrong, hey, my feelings don't matter either. It's the facts that matter. So my final thoughts are we've gotten better in appropriate areas in the offseason, areas where we needed to. Now we need to target these other areas and just get back to being close to either what we were a year ago or in some departments, just being relatively average. And with all the other improvements we've made in other areas, this team can at least win 3 of their last 6 games. I mean, I've got guys coming on some of my shows predicting Nebraska to go 10-2. And I'm like, what? Are you crazy? No, when you look at the talent, the size, and the ability, Ohio State probably has a little bit more talent. We're probably equivalent to USC, but we're bigger. Nobody else on the rest of our schedule has as much talent, just pure talent, composite ranking, as Nebraska does. But it's that consistency day in and day out that is the most difficult thing to do in sports. And if Nebraska can do that in some of the areas, they just need to improve on a little bit, get back to where they were last year, running the ball on offense, getting off the field on defense, special teams as a whole. The areas that they've improved on, which is forcing turnovers, getting after the quarterback on defense, they vastly improved there, throwing the ball, taking care of the ball on offense. And again, just get better on special teams. This is a team that can play with and compete with anybody on the rest of their schedule. And if they could keep it within a touchdown of Ohio State, anything can happen. But within a touchdown,
this team can do some good things, or the bottom can completely fall out as well. All right. Do we got time to do Ohio State, Oregon before the break? We got to go after.
Probably go after.
Fine. Jake's bossing me around. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we'll do Ohio State, Oregon after the break. Is Shedeur Sanders underrated? And then we will go through all of the major games from this weekend. And hopefully you don't have to go to any fall weekends this Saturday. All right, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.